Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast with me, your host, Dawn Owen. I'm a wife, a mom, and an entrepreneur, a speaker, a zero BS coach, and a lover of the high vibe life. I help business leaders like you create huge breakthroughs in their life and business so that you can achieve the freedom and impact you want and deserve. In this podcast, you will hear me talk all about mindset, money, and magic. The power trio that I know will get you where you want to go fast. This is the High Vibe Tribe podcast. Right, so let's get to it and get on with this week's episode. Now, this could be an AMA episode. That's Ask Me Anything if you're not a regular listener. If you're not a regular listener, why not? So it was a question that was actually asked to me as part of one of our group coaching sessions. And I did give an answer to it there, but also thought it'd be really good to talk more about because I think it is something that does impact a lot of people and not just in the context it was asked. Oh, I'm building the tension here. And I have a special guest back by popular demand. You lot are insane. You asked for him to come back. There's a clue. It's a he. Who is it? I'm going to do a drum roll. It is
Mr. Gareth Keat.
Mr. Gareth Keat, husband of Dawn Owen. That's your intro jingle.
We're going to sing everything today.
Yes. No, we sing things quite often in here. Everyone knows that. So look, the question was very innocently asked, and it was kind of a mic drop, really, because it was asked by someone, how do you bring your partner along on the personal development journey? Ooh. So I've got a really short answer to that. It wouldn't really make a great podcast. You can't. End of episode, intro jingle, because that is the short answer. But I thought it'd be really good to talk about, and particularly with Gareth, because a bit of background, I suppose. When I first started on this journey, I was with the previous Mr. Dawn. Let's just call him that. the previous Mr. Dawn. And he was not into this stuff at all. By this stuff, I mean, not just the woo, because that is, you know, not an extreme, but like even not that end. I mean, just like journaling, meditation, just literally any kind of personal development at all. He was not into it. And so much so that I used to literally hide myself away. So he used to work shifts. I would always do it around his shifts. I mean, it's hard that I'm saying all this, hardly surprising we split up, is it? When I was doing my own personal development around his shifts. But anyway, and I mentioned this last week, I think, shortly after I started doing this whole thing, we did split up. So, you know, take from that what you will.
I had nothing to do with that.
No, you know, no, that was years and years before. But what I would say is I knew even then when I was new to it, I knew that there was no point even mentioning it to him. I'd mentioned a couple of things and, you know, whatever, done that face. So I knew there was no point in mentioning it. But what I did know was when I was kind of describing my next ideal husband, I didn't think it was going to be a husband at that point. Amongst the list that I wrote was, you know, I want them to be interested in personal development. I did also write, I didn't want them to be a peer. Oh my God, I can't speak this morning. I didn't want them to be a police officer, but that's another story, isn't it? So, because Gareth was in the police when I met him. So, yeah, I wanted them to be into this stuff or at least open to it. And when I met Gareth, I think it's safe to say you dabbled a little bit in meditation for sleep, hadn't you? But hadn't really explored the whole personal development world.
Oh, and I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to. But it's my podcast, love. I get to speak the most.
Oh, okay.
So I am. Yeah, this is a big build up. So to put in the context, really. So when I met Gareth, although he wasn't doing all of the personal development, he was very open to it. And now I'm going to come over to you because, yeah, what made you kind of want to get, you know, take a step into that world at the time?
So while I was in the police, there were a number of people who mentored me on my career path. And some of those were into what is now loosely termed as personal development, but reading certain books, management styles, embracing your communication style and understanding what your values are and examining those in a different way to some of the traditional career paths in the police where you regurgitate some of the guff that some of the...
I love that word.
Well, yes, there are, you end up using language that you wouldn't normally use. I definitely fell into that, trying to be someone that I wasn't and not really being authentic. So,
can I just interrupt? Is that what we would call wanky language this podcast?
If that's what you were in, yeah, using wanky language.
Love it.
Which I cringe at now, but I definitely used to use some when I was trying to climb the ladder in that corporate world. So there were a few books that I'd started reading, and then when we met, we talked about this, what you described as personal development. And I think I was trying quite hard to kind of impress you at the time as well. And I was going through a bit of a tough time personally, emotionally and psychologically. And so I was looking for something that might help lead me out of the dark hole that I was in. And I wasn't very good at talking about what I was going on inside. And some of the stuff that you introduced me to definitely did help. So journaling particularly.
Yeah, it was journaling and meditation, wasn't it then? Mm-hmm. I just want to say I held myself really well then, because you said like come to find my way out of the dark or something. And I immediately wanted to burst into coming out of the dark.
Please don't.
Gloria Estefan. You see, the thing is, Gareth can actually sing. Don't sing on my podcast. That's my thing. He can actually sing properly, as can the daughter. Mm-hmm. The son and myself, we more like just get up and go for it, but we have great performance skills but no singing ability. Apparently so we're told. We disagree, but anyway, we digress. So the journaling was the first thing really, wasn't it? And how did you find that?
Difficult to start with, most definitely. I ended up I don't think I invented the phrase, but I've really kind of embraced it as thinking ink, trying to think in ink, write it out, get it out of my head and put it on a piece of paper.
I've never heard that.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh, we've been together 6 years. I've never heard that phrase or anywhere else. Maybe you did invent it.
Oh, I used to say it when I was helping other people to try and encourage them to speak for it. Think in ink.
You heard that here first. Think in ink. Expect it to appear everywhere.
So, yeah, I found that really useful. And I think after about a year or so, I started to look back at some of the old... I've got through a couple of journals every 2 or 3 months, and I started to look back at some of the stuff I was writing, and some of it was a bit wanky language. So still a legacy from my policing career, which I was still in at the time. But then started to notice some patterns of thinking which were really unhelpful, quite negative, and were keeping me in a negative space. So by reading what I was writing, well, I was able to then confront some of those things, some not dark thoughts or anything like that, just really unhelpful things that I find unattractive in other people, being critical of other people. And I found myself in my private thoughts thinking exactly that. And you're never going to kind of get away from that, but at least you can be more self-aware by writing those things down. Certainly that was my experience anyway.
Yeah. And I think for me, I often refer to journaling as self-coaching for me, because I'm, well, kind of 9 years, almost 10 years into the journey of journaling. And, I've said before, it started out as Secret Diary of Dawn Owen Age, blah. And, these days is, when I say deep, what I mean is not necessarily deep thoughts, but it's far deeper than a record of kind of what I'm doing. I really look into what I'm writing, kind of like you were saying there. Even on a daily basis, looking at what I'm writing and then self-coaching myself down a different route if it is unhelpful. And it's fair to say, there's also lots of positive things in there as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's good to kind of capture those things. And I think and you don't have to do this, because like anything, it is a personal journey and you make it what it is. But looking back at what you've written can then show you how far you've come as well.
Also, yeah, one of the things that was my non-negotiable every day, to focus on something positive every day, I made myself write down the things that I was grateful for. And it was Gary Ryan Blair was one of the personal development experts, life coaches, whatever phrase you want to use, that we were listening to together, weren't we, at the beginning. And it was 100 days, something every day that you had to focus on. And one of the things in there was writing down, absolutely empty out all the things that you're grateful for. And the natural thought for me was to think about the big things, you know, my family, my kids, my health, my girlfriend at the time.
That's me.
Oh, yeah, that was you. Yeah. And yeah, those kind of big things, when actually it was the little things that can really help you empty out. Grateful for the fact that you've got a house, a roof over your heads, or, you know, the heating's on and you're feeling warm and comfortable, or you've got the motivation to go out and get out in nature, or the ability to go and go for a walk, or the surroundings that you've got, blah, 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 loads and loads of stuff that you can just empty out.
Even smaller than that, sorry to interrupt, sometimes, because we talked about gratitude last week, and Sarah Sarkis was saying how massive she felt it and sort of massive the benefits she felt from it. And, you know, sometimes, well, what I would say is, number one, it is the quickest route out of how you are feeling. If you are feeling unresourceful, as we would say, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling miserable, if you're feeling angry, any of those negative emotions, start writing a list of stuff that you are grateful for. And I guarantee you, that's a big statement, I guarantee you will start to feel differently than how you currently feel. And here's the thing that I was going to say in the beginning, I can't speak this morning, not had enough coffee, that's what it is that you might have to start with the smallest of things. Sometimes I've had to start with, I'm grateful for my unicorn mug to drink my coffee out of, you know, and then it goes from there. Because when you are feeling totally shit, sometimes it is really challenging to see the good things. And so, just like anything, just start small with that one little step. You know, I've got my unicorn mug with my coffee in.
Well, a change of scenery as well was a big thing for me. I was convinced that, you know, some of my habits were, I'd told myself over a number of years that I needed very little sleep. That was something, a badge of honor that I wore with pride, that I could make decisions, whether it be operational decisions in the police, or prior to that came from my military service, where you operated without sleep. So I thought that was a really great thing, a really positive part of my character, which I would shout about or would tell people about all the time. And little did I realize it was the slow erosion of my resilience, you know, the lack of sleep. You know, I'm forcing myself to operate with little sleep, and then even encouraging that as well. You know, trying to wring out every drop of opportunity in a day, thinking, right, well, I'll only need 2 or 3 hours before I go, you know, get back up and start my day again. So when I fell, you know, well, I say fell, you know, when I was...
You always say fell off your perch, yeah, don't you? Yeah. That's a story for another day, yeah, but yeah, it's far too involved for today. I know you weren't going to say it, but what I'm trying to say to the listeners is, we'll come back and reveal that story. It's like an EastEnders trailer we've just dropped there.
Oh, I hope not. That's another wanky load of bloody...
And we also love you if you watch EastEnders, but it's not in our house. No. No,
just like dwells on the negative, doesn't it?
But anyway, when you fell off your perch.
Yeah, yeah. So the simple things like taking time for yourself. I put everybody before myself, and that's a common theme for not just men, women as well. But, you know, I can only speak from a man's perspective. You know, big boys don't cry, suck it up, buttercup. You know, emotions are weakness. We just kind of put one foot in front of the other, and we have to have all the answers for everybody else, and then put ourselves to the back of the list. But for me, when I decided to focus on myself, and I had no choice really, you know, getting out in nature has always been something that, you know, I've done. It seems to be, when I've examined it from when I was a little boy, when we used to go out and play out, not stuck on an Xbox or anything like that, or attached to a phone, back in the days when you went out and made friends and went outside and played outside, come rain or shine. Little Gareth Keaton is Kermit the Frog wellies, going out climbing trees and going down the river. You know, I really appreciated when in my early 40s, going for a walk, sitting on a bench up the Malvern Hills, and you know, feeling the wind, and it sounds, oh God almighty, as I'm saying it, I can imagine some people listening and going, this is a load of shite. But it actually worked for me to actually take the time to notice what was around me that was there, had always been there, but I was too busy up my own backside, trying to get promoted, trying to be a good leader, trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good husband, all of those kind of things took priority rather than taking time for myself.
Yeah, there's loads there. I've had to write some notes because I don't remember everything. Have. Yeah. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because what you were saying there about, you know, just going up the hills and whatever, it's the basics that are around us. And I think sometimes, I often say this, we want things to be difficult and hard. We want it to be that we've got to do another course, or we've got to do this, we've got to get that knowledge, or be that person, or XYZ thing. And actually, it's just about the basics that are around us that we can do without any of that. Just go for a walk if that is your thing. Just get in some water if that is your thing. You know, just breathe. Just taking some time to breathe properly.
But also, sorry to interrupt you, but the other thing as well, this is a lot of people, and I've only found this since discovering it for myself, a lot of people don't want to burden other people with what's going on in their minds. They don't want to be seen as weak. They don't want to be, nobody likes to be judged and feel that people wouldn't understand. And how can you explain to someone what's going on in your head if you haven't got the words or the tools to be able to get that, to articulate it in a way that you hope someone might make sense of? So that's why people don't talk about things. They kind of keep it inside. And that's how the journaling really helped me, was at least if I don't have to show anybody this, it's getting it out of my head and I can try and examine it. Because if you don't understand it yourself, then how on earth is someone else going to understand it? And that's where another topic again, mind reading. We mind read all the time. We think, if I explain this to someone who cares about me and I care about, they're going to think less of me, they're going to judge me, and that they're going to, you have this certainty of how people are going to react. And how can you possibly know what's going inside someone else's head when they can't possibly see what's going on inside yours?
Do you know what's going on inside my head right now?
I could probably answer it again.
Shut up! No, that's not true. So I want to bring it so more up to date. But first, the one thing I want to say is you mentioned in there about how you used to wear your badge of honour of not needing much sleep. Mm-hmm. And I did a post the other day about the things that we believe are our superpowers, but actually are not serving us. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to kind of invite you all to ask yourselves, you know, what is something that you maybe perceive or did perceive as a superpower, but when you look at it, it is not serving you. I talked in my social media post about the fact that, you know, I could keep going, even though I could feel that I was tired, I wasn't functioning properly, all of those things, I'd keep going because I can, one of your phrases, out-suffer anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I can get the job done no matter what. And actually, you know, in the last sort of 18 months particularly, I don't like the word burnout, but maybe mini burnout. I don't know what you call that. Mini smoke out. I don't know. Where, you know, I've kind of gone bang and broke myself, I would call it. And then I've had to, you know, lie in bed for a week or something to recover. And I've started to recognise that more and more. So, yeah, so my invitation is for you, do look at the things that you think are your superpowers and just see if they are really serving you or not. And to bring it kind of back around, you know, we started this about how do you bring your partner along for the journey? So this all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I meet this man and he wants to be into all the stuff I'm into, you know, and he dances me down the aisle. That's another story, if you've not heard it. And, you know, we set up home together and everything's wonderful. Of course, you know, there are the challenges that come as well. But you fell out of love with it all for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, not with you.
No, sorry. No, not with me. Oh, my God. As if you
don't
could
get me wrong.
Ever fall out with me.
We get on each other's tits, don't we?
Oh, we do. Yeah, we have 5'6" toddler moments all the time. But I would say maybe about 18 months, 2 years ago, I noticed that just gradual decline in the journaling and the meditating for you now, this is. And kind of this is where I want to bring it back to the question that somebody asked me in the thing, is like, I was aware of that. I didn't know why, but I just left it. Even in our scenario where this is someone who has been super into it, you know, for a while had main career was in coaching. Mm-hmm. once she left the police, but kind of seemed to fall out of love with the personal development world, if you like. And not in a, so there was no antagonistic stuff. It wasn't like, oh, I don't, it was just like that gradual, kind of ground to a halt. And eventually, when the time was right, because we're good, we have the sofa of truth, don't we? Or the hot tub of truth, depending on the time of year where we can just, you know, be and we chat and we ask the questions that we want to ask. And, but it, I mean, it's gone a good year before I said, and this is what I've noticed. And I wondered, you know, what that was all about.
Hmm,
yes. Well, I just asked that question now. I saw that and I wondered, what's it all about, Gareth?
Well, I think I'd got, when I did, started using it and I saw the benefits, I grabbed hold of it with both hands. I absolutely absorbed myself in it, learned about coaching, particularly around NLP. That was particularly beneficial for me to better understand what was going on with me mentally, and also allowed me to rechip my brain a little bit and become more self-aware. And so I absolutely gave myself to it and then learned to become a coach. And then I started doing coaching and helping other people. And then I still found I was getting triggered, and I still do get triggered by certain things around the public sector, instances of
injustice.
That's the word I was searching for. How did you know that? You were reading
my mind. I know your brain.
And, you know, particularly around policing and corruption and stuff like that. Those are some of my triggers, which I get really twisted up about. But also I found that the coaching, when I was wanting to help other people, which is probably one of my biggest motivators, is to help people who can't help themselves or won't help themselves or are not in a position to. That's why I joined the military, why I joined the police. And then when I left that, I felt, you know, that would be my new sense of purpose. But also it was kind of my self-awareness through the coaching and the journaling and the like, I recognized those. And I probably found it a little bit scary, the fact that my new purpose could potentially be harmful to me as well. So I kind of distance myself from it a little bit. And we talk about away from or towards motivations, like a piece of elastic. You know, the thing that you don't want, I don't want to be fat, I don't want to be overweight, I don't want to be lonely. People kind of get far enough away from it, go into maybe inappropriate relationships or lose enough weight that they go, oh, I'm not that person anymore, and then creep into old habits again. And I think the opposite of I was not involving myself in good habits that had been really helpful for me because I was far enough away from the pain points, and therefore I was allowing, I was just thinking, oh yeah, if everything's fine, I don't need it anymore, perhaps. You know, I haven't really kind of done a deep dive on this for quite a while, but I've started getting back into journaling again now with my new remarkable.
Oh yeah, bought Gareth a remarkable for Christmas because he bought me one. And I think it's safe to say there is that, you know, you're coming back into it now. And a bit like when you find, I don't know, one of your favourite dresses at the back of the wardrobe. Not you. Well, that's another story. No, like when you find something and you're like, oh my God, I haven't worn that for ages. I forgot about that. I'm going to put this on and I feel amazing.
Marines do like to wear women's clothes.
Well, you do when you go out on your little meetups, don't you? But it's like, I was going to say a pair of comfortable slippers, but that makes it sound wrong. But do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, actually, I forgot how good this was, you know?
Yeah, so I suppose the lesson for me is you never stop, do you? You never stop kind of working on yourself. You can, and you know, I'm sure everybody has seen, you know, I absolutely cringe when I see these people talk about what you should do, follow my example, and what you should do in order to have the best life or your best month and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, life's perfect. You know, people are not authentic when this Instagram lifestyle or is
living your best life, hun. Yeah. That's what I always say, isn't it? You know, you've got to, and my clients will know, I share the good and the bad with them.
Yeah.
You know, on the way to having your best month ever or whatever, there's ups and downs. Life is not always perfect. You know, I hate the phrase work-life balance, as you all know, but I do embrace that life is 50-50, as in 50% good, 50% bad. We can't feel good about shitty things that happen. That's not about toxic positivity, I use the phrase. Oh, I don't think I invented that either. But, you know, we're not going to go around going, oh, my God, everything's amazing. Yeah, because we can't have bad thoughts.
Everybody feels shit about
themselves. Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, absolutely.
I wish you all the very best. Although I wish you have the you know, every new year, isn't it? You know, people have those kind of, you know, hopeful kind of expectations. And then you got all these people who are doing the, here's my chinking with their husband and out for a perfect meal, when everybody else knows in their in real life that there are, you know, not everything is rosy.
Absolutely. So the purpose of that was that I wanted to say, you know, even though my partner, husband, but the partner in my life, and you know what, this applies to anyone. It could be your business partner, it could be your sister, you know, the people that are closest to you. If they are not supportive of the journey that you want to go on, that is fine, because they're on their own journey. I'm not here to say you've got to divorce them. That is not the reason, you know, the second Mr. Dawn went by the wayside. It was just a small part of it. That's not what it's about. It's just go on your own journey. And I think if anything, what I'm saying is, please don't like ram it down their throat, because that is the worst thing that you can do. It will totally turn them off and it will just absolutely backfire on you massively.
What, even in our house? Christ almighty, yeah. How many times you've got to get, right, don't try and coach me.
Don't try and coach me right now. You know, I just want to have my moment of being unresourceful. And then, you know, when I'm ready, I'll come back. And that's, you know, on a ongoing basis, weekly, daily sometimes,
I,
you know.
I think a really powerful strategy to use when you're feeling shit is, you know, that the other person, if you're lucky enough to have another, you know, a partner who actually understands it and go, right, just give me half an hour to sit in this.
Yeah,
I'll give myself totally to it for the next half an hour, mm-hmm. feeling happy, you know, sad, unresourceful, yeah. whatever word you phrase you want to use, and then allow yourself, because if you try and reject those, they're natural, aren't they? It's
yeah, that's the thing. And you've got to sit in it. And you know, I will have said, you'll have heard me say before, when we become unafraid to face any negative emotion, that is when your real breakthroughs happen. So, yeah, that was it. We just wanted to have a bit of a conversation about that. So if you are around people who are maybe not supportive of your journey, and this could be any journey. This could be a health and fitness journey. It could be, you know, your personal development. It could be your business journey. It could be any journey that you are currently going on. If the people around you are not supportive, then when I was going to say find new people to be supportive, I don't mean to replace them with. I mean, just to lift you up on your journey. So the two things that I would say is, you know, please don't give up on your journey, whatever that is, just because of another person. And then don't try to bring them along. You know, so we are a little bit out of shape, shall I say, at the moment. You know, yeah. Some of you are in my world will know, you know, we do the shreds and stuff like that. And, you know, I can pinpoint this exactly. We started in January really well. And then on the 18th of January, we had some great news. We celebrated with chips and a bottle of champagne. And that was meant to be it. And it was it. But the other way, we just never went back, did we, after that? So my point is, we know at the minute that we're like that. So if I decide from today, right, I'm back on it and this is what I'm doing and I'm eating this and I'm exercising this, I know that I can't say to Gareth, well, I could say, but it's just, there's just no point. Right, you know, you're coming with me because you're fat little porker as well. I'd never say that, but,
nothing taken.
I'm trying to illustrate the point of, you just can't drag people along on the journey. They've got to want to come. It's a bit like coaching. It's one of the main reasons that when we set out, we decided not to coach in the corporate world, mm-hmm. because you can't, in our opinion, send someone for coaching. Mm-hmm. They've got to put their own hand up and they've got to want to be there. And that really goes for anything. Mm-hmm. Life advice from Dorno in here, it goes for anything. You can't make people do things. They've got to want to be in it for themselves. And that's only when they'll really embrace it and get the result that they want, not the result that you want.
Yeah, I think you've got to choose your moment as well. Like, the big thing for me is, like, I've got some friends who are not into personal development and they are still really good friends, and I do not go touch on any kind of detail about it because I know, and they've made it clear, it's not for them.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, would not that they wouldn't understand, they choose not to kind of embrace it. It's not for them. Mm-hmm. And then I've got other people then who very much do, and we share our kind of our own experiences of it. And that's good as well. So, you know, surrounding yourself with good, positive people, regardless of whether they're into personal development or not, is really important. It's their intentions and their spirit that is more important, because there are the mood hoovers, the negative people, the people who take entertainment from other people's misery, and we all know who they are, and you could all put a name to them as well. Those are the toxic influences. If you kind of spend all your day with those, then that's where you know you're gonna have more of a challenge in keeping yourself out of the, what do you call it,
the goo. Yourself out of the goo. And that's just reminded me, and this is a great one to end on, that phrase. Now, I've got menopause brain, Gareth's got a weird brain, PTSD brain. And so I'm trying to, it's that you can't change the people. Oh, what is it?
Never say it.
No, go on, you say it.
If you can't change the people around you,
change the people around you.
Emphasizing different things.
There you go.
If you can't change, emphasis on change, the people around you, then change the people
around you. Yeah. And I think that's a great one to end it on.
Well, it's a great one, but you can't remember it. You haven't
no, if you can't years. Change the people around you, change the people around you.
Yeah.
Okay. So... I hope you got that, because it is a really good phrase, actually. So thank you, Mr. Keith, for joining us on the podcast.
You're welcome. I'm going to go and do some work now.
Yeah, go and do some work now, and we'll get some coffee as well, and because the day cannot go on without more coffee. And I will obviously be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you know what to do. Do you know my phrase?
Yes.
What is it?
Keep those vibes high.
Keep those vibes high. He listens to the podcast, people. He loves me. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the High Vibe Tribe podcast with me, Dawn Owen. I'd love to know what your number one takeaway was from this episode. Feel free to screenshot the episode and tag me in on social media. And if you know someone who would enjoy it too, then don't keep it to yourself. Share the vibes. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you get notified as soon as the next episode drops. If you're not already a part of the High Vibe Tribe community over on Facebook, then come and join us there. The link is in the show notes. And I'll see you on the next episode. In the meantime, keep those vibes high.